This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah wahda. Wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa lillahi ala al-nasi hijjul bayti man istata'a ilayhi sabila. Wa qala ta'ala al-hajju ashhurun ma'lumat. فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters, we begin by praising Almighty Allah, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has brought us here for Hajj. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this Hajj one of blessing for us. Allah ta'ala rewards us with regard to all the rewards of Hajj. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Al-Hajjul Mabroor, Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. There is nothing but Jannah as a reward and recompense for a person who makes an accepted Hajj, a Hajj Mabroor. And inshallah we are desirous of that, that Allah ta'ala will grant us through the means of this Hajj a Hajj Jannatul Firdaus. Allah will grant us a Hajj Mabroor. Allahumma ja'alhu Hajjan Mabroora, wa dhanban maghfoora, wa sa'yan mashkoora, wa tijaratan lan tabur. It is a dua that you constantly hear, O Allah, grant us an accepted Hajj. Allahumma ja'alhu Hajjan Mabroora, wa dhanban maghfoora, and all our transgressions and our sins being forgiven. Wa sa'yan mashkoor, and all our efforts be, you know, rewarded. And Allah Ta'ala grants us transactions, and of course here it doesn't mean financial transactions, but all our efforts which will result in something that we will only get benefit and profit in. Hajj is, as I said and I made mention today, see, we will be having this, call it an introduction, maybe till Saturday, Sunday. As we come closer, and maybe the people who are here will come on Thursday, they will join us, and then from Thursday we will do the actual 5 days. Today I will just give a motivation, some virtue with regard to Hajj, because I think it's important. Sometimes we only look at what I must do, what I mustn't do, what is halal, what is haram, that we tend to forget the essence of Hajj. And Allah has kept so many beautiful lessons and wisdoms and benefits in Hajj that we cannot but make mention with regard to it and hope that inshallah we will be able to inculcate those type of lessons. Firstly, the word Hajj means intention. The literal meaning of Hajj, Hajja ya Hujju, means intention. And in the Sharia it means an intention to perform rituals as shown to us by our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a specific time of the year. So Hajj has to be performed at specific times. And as I was telling the people when we went for ziyarat in Arafat, you go to Arafat on any other day other than the 9th of Zulhijjah, you don't feel the feeling, the environment, the blessings, the rewards that you will find. Only you will find it on the 9th. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on no other day in the year is shaitan more abased, more humiliated, more disgraced than the day of Arafah when he sees Allah Ta'ala's rahmat coming down. The only day when he was more abased and more humiliated and more disgraced was when he saw the angels coming to assist the companions in the time of the Battle of Badr. After that, he was never so humiliated and disgraced the way he is when he sees Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and Allah Ta'ala forgiving the people of Arafat. But it is only for that specific day on the 9th. So that's a literal meaning. As I made mention previously, look at the way Allah Ta'ala has made Hajj for us. Look at the verse in which Allah has made Hajj for us. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. Allah, when he makes namaz and salat for us, Allah Ta'ala says, أَقِيمُ salat, establish salat. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and give zakat. Kutiba alaykum usiyam. Roza has been made for us upon you. Surah Baqarah. But look at how Allah makes Hajj for us. O people, to Allah O people, do you owe it to Allah to make Hajj of His house, whoever has the means? You owe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah has given you the means, you owe it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That once a lifetime, if Allah ta'ala has granted you the means, you go and perform Hajj. Then look at the concluding portion of that verse. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ Whoever disobeys, whoever turns away and does not do it after he has the means. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ Allah ta'ala is independent, is not in need of the entire creation. You don't make Hajj, it won't harm Allah ta'ala, it will harm you. Allah is not in need of your coming for Hajj. Allah is not of you, not in need of you worshipping Allah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, if the entire creation, all of them become obedient and become the greatest of worshippers, it won't make one iota of difference to the greatness of Allah. And if everyone becomes rebellious, if the entire creation becomes rebellious, and they don't follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it won't make one iota of difference to the greatness of Allah. Allah is great whether you regard Him as great or not. Whether you proclaim His greatness or not, if you proclaim His greatness, it won't make Allah greater, it will make you closer to Allah. You will benefit more than what Allah ta'ala benefits. So I think this is important for us to understand. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ Now, what are the benefits? Why do we come here all the time? There are so many different reasons. Everyone looks at Hajj sometimes differently. A Sufi looks at Hajj differently. A government, a politician might look at Hajj differently. A person who is in other fields will look at Hajj differently. I'll just give you two examples with regard to the benefits of Hajj. One is, I always like to make mention of this. This is Hajj as an exposition and manifestation of our love to Allah Ta'ala. This is perhaps one of the greatest benefits of Hajj. See, there are two dimensions of Allah Ta'ala. One in which Allah Ta'ala is Malikul Mulk. قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُعْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ Says Allah in the Holy Quran, say, I am the King of all kings. I give kingdom to whosoever I wish, and I take kingdom away from whomsoever I wish. I give respect and honor to whomsoever I wish. I abase and I disgrace whomsoever I wish. That is one dimension of Allah. Allah is the King of all kings, the ruler, the absolute authority. Under that dimension of Allah Ta'ala, you and I must come before Almighty Allah in absolute submission. As a servant, as a mere servant coming in front of his master. Now if you look at Salat, it emphasizes this type of relationship. You see, in Namaz, you're not allowed to do anything. Here you come in front of Allah, the moment you make Takbir, you're not even supposed to scratch anything. Huh? You're not even supposed to look around. You are supposed to be completely focused in the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There you are. So there you make takbir at-tahrima. Takbir at-tahrima means everything else which was previously permitted all becomes haram. You can't speak to anyone. You can't, laugh or do something that is the actions of human interaction. You only focus on Allah Ta'ala. You go and go down, and you go down in ruku, and you go down in sijda. You put the most respectable portion of your body in front of Allah Ta'ala. Huh? Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, "As-sajidu yasjudu bayna qadamayhi ar-Rahman." The person who makes sijda is like making sijda. Not that Allah Ta'ala has any bodily organs, it's like making sijda in front of, on the feet of Allah Ta'ala. So there, this particular relationship is one of master-slave. Allah is the master, Allah is the king. We are the subjects. We are the ordinary people in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is another relationship where Allah Ta'ala is the object of our love. Allah is the beloved in the true sense. And we are the ones seeking Allah Ta'ala's love. And this particular Hajj is one like that. You leave your children, you leave your surroundings. Why? To go to the house of Almighty Allah. The Mubarak and blessed and the symbolic house of Almighty Allah. You come here to see. Why have you come? Sometimes you come, you think that, why have we come? We've come here because of the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We leave our children, we leave our surroundings, we leave our environment, we leave our homes, we leave our comfort. The journey will have its fair share of difficulties. We withstand that because we are coming to the house of Almighty Allah, the object of our love, coming to our beloved. And when you come, you take out your normal clothes, because this is the clothes Allah Ta'ala loves. You don't come to your clothes. You know, normally when we go somewhere, sometimes you wear the best of clothes, you wear itar, you wear your best perfumes, you wear the best, you know, designer sometimes clothes. Here you come, leave all of that aside. Why? Because you are not now focusing upon your appearance. You are not focusing upon your brands. You are focusing upon Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wear two white pieces of cloth to show your submission and your love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala loves us. Unzuru ila zuwari bayti. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of Arafat, Allah ta'ala tells the angel, look at my people who have come to my house. Ja'uni shu'than ghubara. They come to me with disheveled hair and their bodies and their clothes is full, laden with dust. Oh my angels, what is the reward for such people who have come like this to me? And the angel said, Allah and His Rasul knows best. And Allah Ta'ala says, the reward for such people is I must forgive them. Go, I have forgiven them. Subhanallah. What a great. Then you go around the house, you come, you first start off, you know, you come to the house and you say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. It is like saying to the beloved, I am present. I have come so far, I am present in front of you. I have come to see you. I have come out of love to see you. No? So the Arabic poet who said, Amurru ala diyari diyaru layla. Uqabbilu dhal jidari wa dhal jidar. I come to the house of my Layla. Now we all know Layla Majnun. We have heard from beginning, so small. Layla Majnun. Right? It is a story of love between Layla, the maid, and Majnun. Or is it the other way around? Layla Majnun. Layla is the female. Majnun is the man. Okay, Layla Majnun. Amurru ala diyari diyaru Layla. I go past the house of my Layla, right, my beloved. I touch this house. I touch this portion of the house and this portion of the house. I kiss this portion of the house. I kiss this portion of the house. It's not the house that I love. I'm not loving the house. I'm loving the occupant of the house because my Layla stays in that house. Here we come around, and I made mention of this incident, I think somewhere during the previous lessons, that one day Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, I heard this from a prominent alim, that Junaid al-Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, the famous saint, was making tawaf, and then when he was making tawaf, he heard, you know, a woman a little bit far off, poetry of love. So she said, he said, what are you doing? Poetry of love in the Kaaba and the Baytullah. And she said, Junaid, don't misunderstand me. I'm not making poetry out of the love of creation. I'm doing poetry of the love of the creator of creation. I'm singing this and I'm rendering this poem out of the love of Allah Ta'ala. And then she said, Junaid, whose tawaf are you making? And Junaid said, you know, I'm making tawaf for the Kaaba and Baytullah. And she looked up towards the heaven and said, oh Allah, look at this creation of yours. They leave you and they circumambulate and they make tawaf of a structure. They leave you and they're making tawaf of a structure. Obviously, we have to make tawaf of a structure. That is what we are required to do. But beyond that, what does Kaaba symbolize us? Symbolizes Allah Ta'ala. There are certain landmarks Allah Ta'ala has kept in this world which reminds us of Allah Ta'ala. And the greatest landmark that reminds us of Allah Ta'ala is the Kaaba and Baytullah. In our group, there's a person who was very, very anxious and eager to see the Kaaba and said, first time I've come. I've never come even for Umrah. So afterwards, I asked him, I said, how was the experience? And he said, I can't explain to you. It was absolutely amazing. Just when you first time you see the Kaaba, and how do you feel? There's nothing that can remind you of Allah Ta'ala the way the Kaaba is. It's a small cube building. But the moment you see it, your just heart is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it carries on. Sometimes you hear in every particular ritual, it is out of love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ultimate is that Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. That's why now the ladies are, they can hear properly, anyone can just find out. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam wanted to sacrifice his one and only son by the command and behest of Almighty Allah. Shaitan tried to come and intervene. How could he see such an act of submission, such an act of love, such an act of great sacrifice? So he tried to intervene. Shaitan took us, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam removed Shaitan, took the belts and took the stones and he belted Shaitan 7 times. And we will also emulate that. Which tells you, O Allah, anything that comes between me and you, anything that comes between us and the love of yours, Allah Ta'ala, we will remove it, we won't allow it to come. Subhanallah. So everything symbolizes, it revolves around the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second point, right? Today we're just starting, so I'm going to keep it maybe, and we can maybe have an interactive discussion. Keep it informal after this, inshallah. The second portion that I would like to say is, if ever there is an ibadat which teaches us submission, it is Hajj. To do things solely because of command of Allah Ta'ala. And sometimes it's very important for us. We are in this world, we like to look at logic. We like to look at ways our benefit. How much benefit there is. How much of financial benefit there is. Ways in my benefit. Here you do things not out of intellect, not sometimes out of logic. You do it because of command of Allah Ta'ala. And you are sacrificing yourself. You are doing it because of command of Allah Ta'ala. We've become materialistic, very materialistic. They say one person was, sitting a little bit despondent. So the Imam Maulana asked him, he said, what happened now? Why are you so despondent? He said, Maulana, you know what happened now? Nowadays, many of us come from India. Nowadays there's a whole aspect of people selling their land in India. So people are selling their lands. So he said, Maulana, you know what actually happened? Just about a couple of years back, my grandfather passed away. And after he passed away, we came to know that his land was there in India, and he sold the land for a couple of million. And we got the money from that. So he said, okay, so why are you despondent now? You got money, you got millions, grandfather's land was sold. So he said, no, even after that, my maternal side, my nana's, Mamaji, the elders, Mamaji passed away, and he also, they had land, he was busy, and that land got sold. We got a couple of 100,000. He said, why are you despondent? He said, this year, Dova died. This is how we are. We only look at benefit, what transaction we got, this way we're going to benefit. Now we say, but there are certain things you do not because of benefit, you don't do of logic, no cold calculated, logic. It's because you are saying, Allah Ta'ala says we do it, we're doing it. And in Hajj, the way it is in Hajj, nowhere else. See, we go between Safa Marwa, right? And we all know the origin of it. It's amazing. The origin of it comes from a woman, right? We're all emulating a woman. And what an amazing woman, Hazrat Hajra. Mention is made that when Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, take your from Canaan. First, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam migrated from Iraq, right? Urfa. I went to Urfa. It's an amazing place. You just feel a very ajeeb sense of tranquility. He's now in Turkey. Right? So there you see the place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, then he came to Canaan. Canaan is in Palestine, right, near Masjid Aqsa. From there he came here, he brought his wife Hajar, and he brought Ismail alayhi salatu was salam, the father of the Arabs. So when he came here, he just left them here and he walked away. Allah Ta'ala told him, leave your son, leave your wife and leave, go. Now you can imagine a young woman with a small child left in a desert, no food, no vegetation, not even a drop of water anywhere where you can see. And she obviously was worried and she said, where are you leaving us here? You're leaving us here in this particular place. Where are you leaving us? And Ibrahim alayhi salam was amazing. Once the command of Allah Ta'ala, didn't care of anything else. Continued walking. The only one thing she managed to get from him was, she asked and said, are you going because Allah commanded you? And he replied, yes, in the affirmative. And she said, then Allah will take care of us. She was also such a woman, Ajib. What an amazing woman she was. Then Ibrahim alayhi salam went across the dunes and he recited this dua which Allah has made mention in Surah Ibrahim. Surah Ibrahim in the 13th Supara. Rabbana inni askantu min dhurriyati biwad ghayri dhi zar'in. Oh Allah, I left my wife and child in a place ghayri dhi zar'in, no vegetation. But I did so in the Baytikal Muharram because it is your sacred house. Rabbana liyuqimu salat. Oh Allah, to establish salat. And when I look at this, the second portion of the dua is even more amazing. Faj'al afidatan minan nasi tahwi ilayhim. Oh Allah, incline the hearts of people towards this place. Oh Allah, incline the hearts of people towards this place. Turn the attention of people to this place. And you think, Ya Allah, here we come, 3 million people. The guards stop you. You can't go there, but you still come. Because Allah has kept an attraction here. Faj'al afidatan minan nas. Oh Allah, turn the attention of people towards this place. Ibrahim alayhi salam's dua came through. How many years you say, Ya Allah, even sometimes you hear people saying that, you know, the amount they charge somewhere else, you won't pay that. Pay it because it's Makkah Mukarramah. Cost you 100,000, 150,000, 200,000. Why you do it? Because Makkah Mukarramah. Why? Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua, Allah, turn the hearts of people to this place. So you spend, you say, never mind, let's spend. It's once in a lifetime, or we don't might not be spend it is Hajj. We're going to the Kaaba, we're going to the Baytullah. Huh? Fajal afiratan minan nas, Allah, turn people. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for Medina also like that. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua for Makkah to turn the people's heart towards Makkah. Allah, give double barakah to Medina and Munawwara also. Turn the hearts of people towards Medina. How do we feel when we're in Medina? I don't need to say it. We all know how we feel. This is the Mubarak, the attraction of this place, because the dua of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Faj'al ifadata minan nasi ta'wi. So where I was making, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua. Warzuqu min al-thamarat. Oh Allah, give them food to eat. And nothing grows in Makkah. But no one ever dies of hunger. Huh? Every time we get food, Allah Ta'ala's fazl and grace. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's dua. So now he left, and what I'm trying to say and proving to you how we do things out of submission. So now when she didn't get, and she was worried about Ismail alayhi salam, there was no water, so she started running between the Mount of Safa and Marwa. And one portion she started running, she was like anxious, going from one place. And there's one portion that she was running because she couldn't see Ismail alayhi salam, who she had placed at a particular juncture, particular place, and a location, she couldn't see Ismail. So she ran between the, what is known as Milayn Akhdarin, the green lights, right? So there she couldn't see Ismail, and so she ran. And she was running, you know, helter-skelter, because there's no water. Can I maybe find water here? There's no water here. She runs this side. And then all of a sudden she sees water gushing out. And she goes there and she sees the water and she said, Zam, stop, stop, to preserve the water. And since that time it has been gushing, subhanAllah. Huh? Since that time, how many thousands of years have gone, it is still gushing. Now the point I'm making is this, you sometimes think that you are emulating Hajar. Right? You're emulating Hajar. She ran because there is no water. Here you're running, while you're running there is water. Huh? There's water everywhere. After every 100 meters, there's a whole lot of Zamzam chugs, right? Containers. Why are you doing it? I said, you're emulating Hajar. There was no water when she was running. Why are you running? Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us we must run. So we're doing it. Submission to Allah Ta'ala. And this is the main aspect with regard to Islam, is to submit to Allah. Sometimes you understand the logic, sometimes you don't understand. But Allah Ta'ala told us we're doing it. Allah will reward us with regard to it. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam saw shaitan. So he pelted shaitan. He saw shaitan in front of him. We don't see shaitan. But we still pelt. Why? Because we're following, we're submitting. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, you people all must have heard of Imam Ghazali, the great scholar. And you people must read some of these things. We don't read enough today. We read all, you know, TikTok. We only do TikTok. We read. Only today, nowadays, there's no academic depth within us. We don't like to read about things. You know, have a culture of reading, appreciating, you know. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi writes, he says that if any time someone, you know, puts it in your mind or it comes to your mind, shaitan was being pelted by Ibrahim alayhi salam because he was in front of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Yeah, I can't see it. He said that has been put in your mind by shaitan to weaken your resolve to humiliate and disgrace him, because nothing can disgrace him more. That here are people doing something solely out of submission. Nothing disgraces him more. They're doing it because Allah Ta'ala told us that we're doing it, therefore we're doing it. So many beautiful things. Submission. The whole year you are supposed to read Salat on time. Inna Salata kanat al mu'minina kitabun mawquta. Salat upon the appointed time is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you would think that on the most mubarak and blessed day of the year, day of Arafat, we must read namaz on time. Everyone will say, if reading Salat on time is such an important thing, the day of Arafat, you must read namaz on time. Now here on Arafat, if you read Maghrib on time, you are committing a guna. You're committing a sin. So there when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, how many times the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what about Maghrib? What about Maghrib? He said, no, Maghrib today is in front. Today we don't read Maghrib on time. Even if you come to Muzdalifah and it is Maghrib time, just say you come somehow or the other, you come early to Muzdalifah, and it's still time for Maghrib, you don't read Maghrib on time, you wait for Isha. Then you read Maghrib Isha time. Why? Because that is submission. When Allah Ta'ala told us to read namaz on time, we read namaz on time. When Allah Ta'ala told us, no, today you don't read namaz on time, you read Maghrib Isha type, we do it. So Hajj teaches us submission to Allah Ta'ala. And once we get that right, then you can submit everything. You can submit your desires. Desires tell you, I must do something, like, you know, in this particular line, something immoral. No, no. I have to submit my desires to Allah Ta'ala's command. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به. None of you is a believer until he subjects his desires to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two important, most beautiful virtues and wisdoms of Hajj. So there's many others, but I think let us leave it at this particular juncture on these two today. And if there is any questions anyone has with regard to any aspect of the inner dimension, the inner stuff with regard to Hajj, we can discuss it. Otherwise, inshallah, we will go every day. We'll discuss something. And if there is anything you want me to discuss, you can even, inshallah. I had in mind that tomorrow we discuss about dua. Because I think everyone now, you know, we've heard so much that Arafat, we must make dua. We heard that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for several hours. Now our dua, we read, we make even all the things we will ask, in 5 minutes we will be finished. What are we going to read? How are you going to make? How are you going to make dua? That's why they gave you Hizbul Azam. Take that Hizbul Azam and go through it and read that. See the translation, inshallah, at least once a year on that day of Arafat. Read Hizbul Azam from cover to cover. Study the meanings of it and read it, inshallah. What are we going to do on the Arafat? From that particular day, it is only zikr, askar, and dua that we must make. So we'll speak a little bit about dua, inshallah, tomorrow. And then as we go along, we'll speak about the 5 days. Any questions, anything else, any other dimensions, anything else you want us to be discussing? I suppose everyone wants to know about the finer details about the 5 days.
The
then inshallah, we'll come to that. Okay, subhanallah wa bihamdika. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك.
تمام.